Good morning, this is Paul Ingram of PainScience.com. It is Monday, July 18th, and after a week of travel, I've gotten behind on everything, and the blog slash newsletter has been quiet for days. So this is just a bit of a chatty ramble to get back into the swing of things. I've included some new COVID science in this post, some of which intersects with the world of pain, thanks to the crappy long-term effects of that disease. So yeah, I celebrated a new marriage just as another COVID wave arrives. I was at quite a large wedding on Vancouver Island, and that was by far the largest social gathering I've been to since the pandemic started, which also interestingly means it's probably by far the largest infection risk I've ever taken, like in my life. Because I've never lived with an endemic virus as dangerous as COVID. And as soon as the pandemic hit, and of course, you know, it was way less community spread back then, I isolated myself early and well, and have been pretty well isolated ever since. My career, my very writerly career, obviously facilitates that. So going out to this wedding was, you know, literally probably the most infection risk I've ever taken. And of course, the risk was all the greater because of the BA5 subvariant of Omicron. If you have lost track of what's going on with the COVID pandemic lately, and I think a lot of people have, and I can't blame you because who wants to think about it anymore? But it's not going away, and it hasn't gotten bored with us. So if you've lost track, there's a great Atlantic article by Ed Yong from just earlier this month about the BA5 subvariant of Omicron. It's not as spectacular as the original Omicron wave last fall, but it is definitely, quote, extending and deepening the pandemic's ongoing burden. But these weddings are well planned and well in advance, so off we went. Carefully. Long COVID risks and rates. My wife and I are in the rapidly shrinking minority of people who have not yet had COVID, as far as we know. But we continue to have great respect for this virus, after seeing it hit several friends hard enough to spook them. And it's still hitting some of them. We especially respect the many strange long-term effects, some of which, not discussed here, are pretty hair-raising. And we respect the extra risk of long COVID being piled on top of whatever has already been wrong with me for the last 7 years. My own chronic health problems are very long COVID-like, as many of you now know from following along with my other blogging project, Project Try Everything. You can Google that and find what I'm talking about if you want to look that up. It's just writing about my own experiences with long-term, bizarre, long COVID-like illness. So obviously the last thing I need is more rheumatic symptoms, which, and here's some COVID science for you, rheumatic symptoms affect about 12% of COVID patients after a year. Mostly the knees, hands, and shoulders, and more in women and older patients. And they do this regardless of illness severity. Flu does not do that. I'm talking about pain, of course, basically feeling arthritic. Rheumatic symptoms mostly refers to joint pain. And so, yeah, 12% of COVID patients a year after their infection, even a mild infection, are having pain they didn't have before in the knees, hands, shoulders, and a few other joints. By the way, the best fresh data on rates of long COVID, which is really hard to get. It's very difficult to get good data on long COVID. It's taken us a long time to get data as good as this, and it could still be a lot better. So this is from a paper in The Lancet, which suggests that long COVID is quite a bit less common with Omicron than it was with Delta, which is basically the only good news about the pandemic that I can think of. So Delta was pretty bad. A lot of people, a lot more people with the Delta version were getting long COVID, roughly half that many with Omicron. So that's an improvement, which is nice. Of course, we have no idea about BA5 yet. But a mixture of Delta and Omicron patients showed a long COVID rate of about 5 to 10%. So a little higher for Delta, a little lower for Omicron, and higher numbers the longer it has been since vaccination. So the peak risk was about 14% for 60-plus adults that were more than 6 months since their last vaccination. So the oldest people, the furthest from their vaccination, and probably Delta as opposed to Omicron. Let me just look at the chart here. Definitely. In fact, the Omicron numbers for older people are quite, it's one of the lowest rates in the chart. So that's nice. Yeah, weird little bit of good news buried here in all of the other grimness. How did we handle the infection risk management going to a wedding? Here's our case study. The wedding was almost entirely outdoors on a ridge overlooking the ocean with near constant sea breezes thoroughly ventilating the whole event. And that's why I was willing to go. I knew this location. These are the friends of our family. I know them well. I've been there many times, so I know the property and I know what a fantastic location it is for a wedding at this time, and that is why I was willing to go. On the other side of the infection risk ledger, 140 people, and half of those, roughly, were very enthusiastic. Folks from Ireland, the groom's Irish friends and family had just traveled internationally and attended big stag and bachelorette parties in Nashville because the bride is a huge country music fan. So 140 people who had all just returned from, who had all just gotten there from traveling abroad and partying together. And of course, lots of conversations, although we generally kept our distance. We didn't always, and occasionally we were talking to people across tables or so on. And there wasn't always a breeze. There usually was, but not always. And then there were frequent trips indoors to help with preparations and indoors to the bathrooms, sort of. They had these awesome super porta potties, not a plastic toilet closet, but a full-on luxury trailer full of three bathrooms that were all very nice, like bathrooms you might go into in a fine dining restaurant. So those were lovely, but of course, constantly used. You had, you know, a parade of people going in and out of those bathrooms all day long, every day. So I'm thinking that the air in those bathrooms was not great. I always wore a mask for every trip indoors, especially the bathrooms. But we were it. So that's the final thing on this side of the infection risk ledger. No one was masked. Absolutely no one. I never saw another mask other than our own. Outdoors on a ridge with sea breezes. Great. But tons of people, lots of talking, lots of little bits indoors, no masks at all. I didn't feel great about it. And then, on the day after the wedding, the groom was obviously sick. He, in fact, was snuffling and hacking wetly at brunch just a couple meters from me. Outdoors, with those sea breezes, but still, I moved. And then, not long after that, it was much less obvious, and I'm still not sure, and I haven't gotten an update, but the groom was for sure sick, and then the bride. I'm quite sure that she was also showing clear symptoms. So, yeah, COVID can incubate for many days, so my wife and I, either or both of us, could still wake up tomorrow or the next day with the scratchy throat of viral doom. Fingers crossed, but so far so good, and our odds are improving fast.